Hi, and welcome to Artists Alive. I'm Gustav Zeventin Elfström, and this is a show where I interview people in the entertainment industry so that you can be inspired to do your thing. With me, I have 7000 Apart.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm at your studio.
Yeah.
The first time I'm here, and it's really cozy.
Fine.
It's cool. I was just telling John that I really like the lights and stuff. I think it's really cool. We'll see and cute.
Yeah, thanks. It needs to be cozy when you sit here for hours on end.
And welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us back.
It's been over a year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, time flies by. But for the people, well, can't you tell them a little bit about yourselves and what it is that you do?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Amelie. I'm originally from Stockholm, Sweden. And I grew up singing and doing voice acting and stuff. And then when I was 17, I went to the U.S. as an exchange student. And that's when I met John.
Yeah, so we met in music theory class and we became really good friends over music. And then we ended up becoming more than friends, dating the rest of the school year, and then Amelie had to go back to Sweden, so we were forced into a long-distance relationship for 3 years, and that's kind of when we started our project, 7000 Apart. We started on YouTube just as a way of like staying in touch and having something to talk about and something to do that we had in common, because there was nothing else we really had in common those 3 years. And so then, yeah, after those 3 years, we got married in Sweden, moved to the U.S., where we lived for 6 years, trying to do music, and it ended up just becoming kind of our job a few years ago, and it's been a crazy ride, I guess, to get to this point.
Yeah, and now we live in Sweden again, so that's really nice, too.
Yeah.
But we have our hearts both in Wisconsin and in Sweden, so...
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. And something else that's amazing, I saw on Instagram yesterday that you finished your album.
Yes.
Cool.
We just finished our third album, which is, it feels so great.
Like last night at midnight, so like not that
less
many
less
hours
than
ago.
24 hours ago, yeah.
Wow, how long did you work?
Yeah, we started writing these songs, like some of them are over 2 years old, I think. Mm-hmm. And so, but you've been producing pretty much the last year and a half.
I've been really
getting into it.
Yeah, and then the last 7 months have been almost exclusively just focused on finalizing it and really trying to make as many versions of as many songs as possible to see if they could make the cut or not, I guess. Try to like believe in some of the songs a little bit extra and try to push them as far as they could go, hoping to see if they could actually make it or not to the album.
Yeah, it's been a very like interesting process going from like I think we had 100 songs / ideas down to I think John produced like 26 and then 12 of those ended up on the album. So it's been like, you know, It's kind of fun. It's kind of like March Madness, where it's like, who's going to make it to the end?
Final bracket.
Yeah. Hunger Games.
Yes, exactly.
Sports.
What was one of the like biggest reasons the song couldn't make the cut?
So we had to cut two right here at the end. And it was just, they weren't done and we didn't feel happy enough with them. Like it's, in order for us to put out something into the world, like we really want to make sure that it's the best it can be. And one of the songs we felt like, oh, this should really be in a different key and we wouldn't have time to like re-record everything. And so it's better that we save that one and then we redo it when we feel like, okay, now we have time to really sit down and really experiment. And then another song just didn't make it because we didn't have a bridge for it yet. It didn't feel 100% complete. And so, yeah, so that one didn't make it either. But, I mean, there were so many other songs, too, that just didn't feel like they vibed with the album or they didn't hold the same standard as what we thought the other songs did.
Yeah. I was wondering, what is the overall feel for this album? What's the theme? What's it called?
I think it's leaning a little bit more rock than I expected it to. But it's very much in the rock and folk genre. But, like, I would say, with like a pop production and pop sensibility, like it's very much like catchy melodies and stuff, but with those other two genres sprinkled in. And like, yeah, it's really asking the question, because we asked ourselves, like, why do we do what we do? Like, why do we keep doing this? Why don't we just give up? You know, there's so many good reasons to give up. Why do we do what we do in our life in general? Like, why are we living here in Sweden? Why do we keep going back to the U.S. to tour? Why? Just like asking a lot of questions, I think.
Yeah. Why do you eat what you eat for breakfast? Like, I think we're in like the time of our lives where we are starting to, we've had to question things a little bit. Like, cause you know, we're always evolving, but it's a time of reflection. I think it has been for the last couple of years, moving here to Sweden, looking at, okay, what should our life here look like? What is it that we actually want to do and how do we get there? And I think it's like an important question for anyone because it's so easy that we just keep going what we're doing, you know, and just eat the same thing for breakfast every day and go to the same job, even though we maybe don't love it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of a question that we want to put out in the world for people to be like, you know, maybe I should make some changes, or actually, like, I'm heading the right path. I'm really proud of the work that I'm doing, or it's an important question to ask yourself, I think.
Yeah, and you should always be able to change your mind about things.
Exactly.
Because otherwise it would be really boring.
Yes.
Super boring. I hate it. So always try to do different things. And you don't have to be good at it by any means. You can just try something new because it's different, something that you've always wanted to try or never wanted to try, just to see if you're good at it or not, you know?
Yeah, and also see if you enjoy it. One thing that I bring up as an example when people are like, oh, I'm too old to start music now, or John actually had a piano student that had just retired. She was, I think, 65.
Yeah.
And she's like, I've never taken a single piano lesson in my life. I've never touched a piano. I want to learn how to play the piano.
Wow.
And I just thought that was so inspiring. And she really, really enjoyed it and ended up like being one of your best students, I think, because she actually had the time to practice and was really like motivated. And yeah, it was really cute.
Yeah. And we'll get back to this in just a little second, talking about what is the, why we do the things that we do, and talking about the album a little bit more. But to get a little closer to the listeners, I was just wondering if we could tell them a little bit about our day.
Yeah, just our day.
Yeah,
oh, wow,
just to make it a little relatable. And
yeah, so since we were done with the album at like midnight last night-ish, so then we went home and had to like decompress a little bit. And also, there were the Whammies last night, which is the Wisconsin Music Area Industry Awards. So it's like the Grammys, but just for Wisconsin. And so that started at, I think, 1 a.m. last night.
Wow.
And so I had a hard time going to sleep because we were up for a bunch of categories too. And I was like getting really nervous, even though like we don't expect to win anything. We're just like thankful to be nominated or considered at all. But I ended up like, you know, I was scrolling my normal thing before I go to bed. And then I was like, oh, but what if they announce one of our categories? And then I would go back and watch. And we actually did win best pop, R&B, electronic, and rap album. So they put all of those in one category. But yeah, so we won for our previous album, which feels really, really fun.
And someone said, congrats on the awards, but we went to bed, so we don't know if we won anything else or not. But
yeah, so I think we might have won a second thing.
But we were like nominated for like 5 awards, so that was really
amazing.
Special to begin with, just to be recognized at all in you know, it's feels like a really cool thing, like being recognized from like my home state, you know, being like, okay, what you guys are doing is cool. And like, it's voted on by both people who are just in the community, but also by like a panel of people in the industry
and fans, anyone
so
can vote, I think.
It's really special. And so then that made us stay up even later.
Yeah.
And so then we got up at like 1 today.
Yep. So it was a very slow morning, but then we got our breakfast. We decided today was going to be like half off day because we desperately need one. And then I just, because it's sunny outside, I'm a Swede, I'm like, I need to go outside. And so I went for a run. I'm trying to, you know, get up that stamina before summer because I'm running around on stage for 3 or 4 hours. So I'm trying to go for some runs.
So our day has been very slow and not really a normal day, I would say. But like, it's, and then we just hung out at home and now we're here.
Yeah. And then tonight we're doing a songwriter. We host a songwriter's circle.
Oh, cool.
So any songwriter can come and share a song, and we give each other feedback, and it's really cute. And yeah, it's really, really nice way to meet people and also to talk about songwriting, which we're kind of nerdy about. So yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's our day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And drinking coffee with you right now.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the coffee.
When I was a teenager, I really wanted to become a barista.
Ooh.
Out of all the things. But then no one would hire me. And I don't know what, you know, so that dream died immediately. I went to Starbucks, Espresso House, like all these places.
It's not too late, though, because we just talked about
that,
right?
I've given up on that dream.
Okay.
I would never see myself as a barista today, but I have such respect for them, you know?
Yeah.
Because I always kind of switch people's names, so I don't know what coffee is for whom, and kind of clumsy a bit, so, you know. So maybe that was fate that I didn't get to work as a barista. But,
maybe for the best for you and for everyone or something.
Another thing that I never thought I wanted to do 2 months ago, a bit more than that, was late February. My mom and I, we went to the Stockholm Royal Opera just to watch a dance show that was choreographed by Mats Ek, whom I'm a huge fan of. And, you know, she used to go there in the 90s a lot, and then after she'd go to a specific restaurant called Bakfickan, back pocket.
Yeah.
And that was like her routine in the 90s. And she was like, I want to do that with you. And I was like, okay, cool. So we went there. We always have dinner late together. Like every time we have dinner late, it's like 11 p.m. There's no normal time for us to do anything. You know, we always want to do things at late at night. But anyways, so then somebody working there was an ex-scout from London, like model scout, and like asked me, are you a model? And I was like, no, I'm not. You should go try out for this this model agency here in Stockholm, because they're having open castings and stuff. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. That is not really my thing. And I was like, okay, well, it's quite rare to kind of, that wasn't even a real, like, because the person didn't really work as a scout anymore. So that wasn't a real scouting experience.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, I'm going to pass on this for now. But, you know, if it ever happens to me that I get scouted again in the future, okay, then maybe I'll take it seriously. So I was waiting for the subway last Thursday, and this lady comes up to me, and the first thing she says is like, oh, excuse me, do you speak English? So to me, I was like, okay, this is a tourist who needs directions. And I'm horrible at giving directions. So I was like, no, you need to ask somebody else. And I was going to say that. But then she was, you know, pitching herself in the agency and was like, oh, I work at this agency, it's based in London, and I just saw you and I thought you were cool, can't we exchange information and stuff? So she gave me her business card and I gave her my email, and I'm gonna have like a mini photo shoot this week and just
send
the photos in to them, and then
she
and her team will get back to me then with an approval or rejection. To me, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm grateful for the opportunity, you know, and I don't think scouting really happens that often in the streets. So it was weird that it's happened kind of twice.
Yeah.
In like 2 months.
It could be a sign.
Yeah, I think it is a sign. And I was like, okay, well, if it's meant to be, I'll take it seriously if it gets scouted again, and then it just happened. And I feel like I'll just see what happens. I have no high expectations or anything. I'm just grateful to do it.
Yeah.
Because you always should do things that you get approached for. Not everything, of course, but a lot of things that just seem scary or stuff.
Yeah.
You should do it.
I'm very much like a yes sayer. I take on too much sometimes. Sometimes I have to be like, Amal, you don't have to work at a plant shop. Or when actually, I'm talking about barista, when we were sitting at Starbucks, we were killing time because we had a radio interview in the morning. Mm-hmm. This was like a month ago when we were in the US. We had a radio interview in the morning, and then we had a show in the evening in this town, like an hour away from where we live. So we were like, oh, let's not go home. It's such a waste of like gas or whatever. And so we sit at Starbucks for literally 5 hours. And so we become like
those people
talking. No, we were just like talking with the manager, and she's like, "Oh, do you want another tea, honey?" And I was like, "Yes, please." And then she's like, "By the way, are you looking for jobs?" Because she really liked our energy, which I thought was really cute. So, but for that, we were like, "Thank you, but no, thank you. We can't work as baristas in Appleton, Wisconsin, right now. But thank you for the offer."
I thought you were going to say we became one of those people, you know, with their MacBooks and stuff, like wait, they're writing for pile alleys.
That was us, yes.
Yeah.
But
was
she
us,
was okay with it. Yeah. It was not busy, so she didn't mind.
Yeah, that is us quite often, like sometimes.
17-year-old me would have been like, oh my goodness, why wasn't I there?
Exactly.
You have FOMO. Like,
yeah. There is the FOMO.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Be FOMO. Yeah. Is there any like random jobs that you would like to do?
Maybe entertainment,
maybe that you haven't done yet. Because you've done a lot of voice acting.
I would like to work at a plant store. I know that's not entertainment.
It could be entertainment.
But I think that would be really fun. I don't know. Otherwise, I've done so much, like random little things. Do you have anything that you would like to try, John?
Within entertainment specifically?
Or just anything in now. Now we just drop dead.
Like, John can't do anything besides music.
I'm really,
like,
he really
can't.
At it, to be honest. Like, I'm really bad at it. I think, like, I would be, if you asked, like, 10-year-old me, I would have wanted to be an architect.
Wow.
Because I think partially that was because I loved math. And I was playing a lot of Sims. And I was like, I can combine math with architecture to play Sims in real life and get paid for it. That would be fun. I mean, I don't know. Like, I really have a hard time with that. You know, like, I do enjoy teaching still, but I just find, like, you know, students can be hard at times. Yeah. Like, and if not the students, the parents can be hard at times. So, like, I did teach for like 4 years or so, like we talked about earlier, and I did enjoy that, but I think it was like one of those things where it's just like, I love music so much, and like, I think any, being a producer or, you know, just being within the music industry, I just enjoy it a lot.
I was wondering about the track list. Is Soul and Soma Scars on
there?
It is?
Yeah, of course.
I have a personal story.
Oh, tell me.
That's connected to that song in particular. It came out a day when I was very, like, anxious about it. Not anxious, but kind of stressed about a thing, because another thing that I was approached for was by a PR agency. They saw me in a magazine, and they were interested in my podcast, and so they wanted to book a meeting with me, with little me. And I was still a little nervous because I have some social anxiety and stuff, so I was like, okay, what's happening? But then I got a text from you both, that where you asked me to listen to your new song, and so I did. You know, that stress kind of diminished a little bit, so I'm happy about that, you know?
Yay.
So that's kind of cool.
Love that.
So, but what was that day like,
the
from your perspective?
Day or the writing
the release day? Or both.
The writing day, let's start there, because that was first. Yeah. We wrote it in here, in the studio.
Yeah.
And it was just the most, I think the most, like, relaxed, chill session that we've had almost.
Yeah.
I mean, most of our sessions are chill and relaxed now, but like, that was kind of a turning point for us. We had been writing for other people that whole week, or writing for Pitch. John wrote a K-pop song. We were in this camp. And then the last day we got to write for us and with a producer from Denmark. And we just had a really good time, but we were writing about something very, I don't want to say deep, but at the same time, yeah, kind of deep. It's very mental health related. Like, it's a song about finally getting past something very difficult. It can be depression. It can be a sickness, or maybe loss of a loved one, or, you know, because we all go through these like very intense traumatic things in our lives. And it's when you're like finally on the other side, and you can like start enjoying things again, and you can allow yourself to enjoy things again, while you know that like the thing that happened to you definitely has changed you, but it doesn't have to be just for the worse, you know?
No.
And you can just be kind of thankful to be alive, I guess. So It was a beautiful sunny day. I remember we took a walk for like an hour just in the woods out here and just finished the whole thing in one day, which is something we hadn't really done before either.
It was the first time that song actually inspired me to produce, because we wrote the whole song, recorded the whole song, and completely, like, the final version of the song basically was all done within 6.5 hours.
Wow.
And that has never happened before for us. And, like, we were just, we wrote it and it was done and we were like, we're happy with it. Like, it's done. Like, and normally...
Every single word, every single melody, every single guitar part, everything was so well thought out, even though it was done in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, that was cool. And that was just really inspiring and showed, like... Because I think it was one of the first times we caught the emotion, like, as Amelie had it. Like, literally, she's like, this is what I'm feeling right now. And then she sang it into the mic right away. And that was... Then it was done. And I think that's so hard to catch, because, like, quite often when you're writing, you may be feeling the moment in the moment when you're writing it, but then you record it 2 months later. So, like, you have to get yourself back in that, like, emotion. And so there's just something really special about that. And, like, I kind of want to keep chasing that feeling of, like, okay, well, we captured a feeling, like, in a recording as we had it, you know? That's just it was such a magical, like, feeling to do that, actually.
So I can really believe. And when you enjoy what you do, and you create such beautiful art, you know, you can really look back at it and just feel it all over again, re-experiencing the day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I do sometimes when I listen to these podcast episodes. I can get home like very late at night and stuff if I've been out partying with some friends, and then I get recommended like an Apple Podcasts to listen to like a very old episode, like 5 or 6 years, and I'm like, okay, this is a little cringy, but I'll listen to it. And then I just enjoy the cringy. When I get past that, you know, then I can really think about a conversation that I've had and be like, well, I haven't thought about this episode in so many years, and it just takes me back, you know? And I feel like that's something that people who create music maybe experience as well.
It's like a little memory capsule.
Yeah,
which is really cool. I listened to some of our old songs not too long ago, and I was like, wow, this isn't half bad, you know? Because it's not... I don't listen to our music that often.
No.
Just because... Yeah, I don't know why, really. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not because... I guess there's so much else to listen to that I don't put myself first, I guess. But when I do for something, then it's just... It's really cool to see both the growth, but also, like, you know, like... You know, 23-year-old Amelie and John, they did good.
Yeah,
they didn't suck.
No. That's great.
That's sweet too.
Yeah. What was the release date like?
I don't remember. Do you remember?
Wasn't it at the beginning of the Kickstarter? Was it not?
Was it before that?
It must have been a little bit before.
It must have been before that then. I don't remember.
Yeah, release the amnesia.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think release days are always a bit stressful for us, but we're trying to get better at it. It's just like being an independent artist, like not having a team behind us at all. Like we're required to do everything.
Yeah.
So like if we aren't doing stuff on the release day, nothing will happen.
Yeah.
So like we are... You know, release days are very busy normally. We have to post a lot. We have to make sure everything is actually out there. Because, like, sometimes, like, we find out, oh, it's not on Apple Music. Why isn't it on Apple Music? And then you're, like, freaking out. And so it's, like, a lot of those types of things. So I think, like, release days are always a bit stressful. And, like, we're trying to find ways to not make it stressful by, like, prepping our content. But for the past...
And also celebrating. I think we need to get better at that. It's like, let's have a little get-together with friends, or...
Yeah, exactly.
Let's have a little show, or let's just go out for a nice dinner, just the two of us.
We're trying to get better at that.
Yeah.
Because it's... I think it needs to be focused on that type of emotion instead of, like, all the stuff you have to do. But it's hard. It's just hard as an independent artist when you're doing everything, you know, and... trying to keep everything in the front of your brain, but still also being like, I need to enjoy today. For example, we finished our album last night. Take a moment.
Sit with that.
Just breathe it in. Just be like, okay, we did the thing. Like, let's just be happy and not always be jumping to the next thing. But, you know, maybe that's a good song idea as well to write about.
You know? No, but release days for my podcast episodes can also be a bit weird because when it comes to like content or like putting out a press release and try to talk to journalists and see if there is a story that they might be interested in, but also putting out clips on social media and stuff, and then I worry like, okay, am I being too annoying right now? Like, is this enough to grab people's attention, but also to not overdo it? And then how many days afterward can I tease the episode as well? So it's kind of like a mix between stuff that I still haven't figured out yet. Something that my PR agency told me was that I need to dare to do more things when it comes to that, and just plan out more behind the scenes content, which I'm so bad at. But they gave me some kind of like tips and tricks and stuff for things to do. So we'll see how it goes today.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, I'll try, you know, because it's still, I am still the person who needs to publish everything.
Yeah.
I don't really have them to do it for me. No, so.
It's just finding a balance, I think, of like doing the stuff that you need to do.
Yeah.
But not having that stuff be stressful and in a bad way. Just have it be kind of something that has to be done, but like...
Yeah, and also the thing, instead of feeling like you have to do it, is you get to do it. No, you get to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, because like there's so many other jobs in this world that are, and hobbies that are a lot more boring.
Yeah.
So like instead of feeling, because I can have a hard time too with posting content in general, but if I can just think of it as a part of 7,000 Apart and it's a part of the job, like... I would much rather sit and post content about my band than go do another random job, right?
Yeah.
So it's more like, I get to do this.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. You don't have to love it all the time, but with that positive mindset, you know, you can make everything a bit better, at least, you know? Which is great. Do we know, like, anything else about the album that you would like to have said? Is it too soon to say anything?
No, I think we can at least talk a little bit about plans, I guess. Our plans are releasing one song a month until we feel like, you know, now it's time to release the album. And it's probably going to be this fall sometime.
Yeah.
We're hoping to have a big release show or a release party or something. And to celebrate, because we need to get better at that. And I think we're really excited and thankful it's done so that we can... focus on the other parts for a little bit. I think it's content and marketing time. And then soon it's going to be tour time in just a couple of weeks. And so we're going to be busy for sure.
And starting to write for, you know, like continuing to write for the next future projects and all that too. And just like finding ways to balance all that. And like, but it's just exciting. I feel like it's the first time we've been ahead of schedule in like 5 years or something, you know. With COVID and all that, it really like pushed our schedule just so far back. This is the first time I think we've had all of our songs done in forever. Like literally, like we've never had this before. Like they're all done. They're all like ready. We're making vinyl and CDs, which are coming out this summer. So it's done, you know, like stuff can't really be changed at this point, which is just really cool because then we can start thinking visuals, making some stuff and just having fun with it, trying to find some new life to each of the songs and finding like, just making it moving on instead of just looking at all the super tiny details and all that, which is really exciting, I think. And and the first time we've been in this place to be able to focus on those other things, which is so cool.
And it was financed through Kickstarter, which means that for the people who don't know, it's a platform where people can support their support creators with their projects and stuff. What was that like? Because you've funded other albums via Kickstarter before,
this is our third one.
So what was it like this time? Was there something different this time? Or
It was difficult. I mean, it's always difficult, and I always swear that I'll never do it again. But it's also, like, incredible the support that you get and all the people that are out there actually wanting this album to be made, I think, is really, really exciting. And I am so, so grateful that we were able to fund this album. But yeah, it's rough because every day you're looking at the percentages, you're looking at the money coming in, you're posting content after content, and you're like you were saying, like, oh, am I too annoying now? Am I too desperate? Am I coming off like... So it's a lot of like mental hurdles doing a Kickstarter, at least. And this time it was difficult. Like people... We're kind of heading into a recession and all that, and people don't have a ton of extra money. And asking people to then fund art instead of, you know, buying groceries feels like really difficult and feels wrong. But we were able to make it thanks to some incredible people. 151.
At least, I think.
Yeah, plus a few extra that supported us outside of the Kickstarter. And so just knowing that we have a, over 150 people being like, yeah, you go, guys. We want this album to happen. It's really magical. And yeah, that was my rant. Did you want to say something?
No, I mean, I think it's just great. Like, we're so... It's such a cool way to not have to work with the record label. You know, like, I think, like, working with record labels is cool if it's a good fit, but, like, quite often, like, it's not. And so, like, it's just nice being able to be like, okay, well, I get that, you know, we could be working with this label, or we could just do it ourselves. Like, let's just try doing it ourselves. Like, let's just have our fans support it, and then whatever they do to support us, that's what we'll do, you know? Like, and... It's just, I think, a really cool way of being able to stay an independent artist and, like, actually be able to focus on the art so much more. Like, you're not trying to be, like, commercial in the sense of, like, okay, it has to fit this exact mold for radio or whatever. You're just literally doing exactly what you want to make. There's no compromise there, which is really cool.
You're not trying to please anyone else but yourself, really.
And your fans. I guess your fans.
Yeah, and the fans. Yeah. But our fans are the best. They're just, like... They've never been upset by anything we've put out. No. You know, they're just happy that we keep doing what we do. And there's never been like, oh, but this song doesn't really sound like this song that I love. So that's why I hate it. You know, they're just like, cool, another song. We love it. Great. You know, like,
Which is sweet. So cool.
Have they got a name?
They've had a few names over the years. I don't think that they have anything like right now. Like they're very spread out. So we've had Not a Cult was for a while. That was, or they call themselves the 7,000 Part Cult, but every time they would say that, we're like, it's not a cult. So we call them the Not a Cult for a bit. They've been the Fan Cakes. The 7,000 Part Fan Cakes, because, you know, American pancakes, Swedish pancakes, fan cakes. It just kind of happened.
The 7,000 Part Gang.
So we have the 7,000 Part Gang, but they're like special. They're like their own little group. And now we have the Ohana family as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
So we have... So the first one just happened... So we had this one girl coming to a lot of shows. She saw us opening for another band. And then she would just come to every show that we played in her city.
And she's been to like 130 shows.
Something like that.
Like, no, absolutely crazy. Not joking at all. Like,
not even over exaggerating.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so, and then we put together an event with her because she's on the autism spectrum. And so we did like a fundraiser for an autism community in Wisconsin. And so there were some other people from that community there, and then they started hanging out with each other, and then they started coming to the shows together with us, and then that group just kind of like grew and evolved a little bit. And over COVID too, they would join our live streams, and I think they decided that they were going to be called the 7,000 Part Gang.
And then on live stream, they called themselves the Not a Cult. Or they called the cult, but they said they were not a cult.
They liked it. That was funny. And then we have this other group from a different city in Wisconsin, from Appleton, that have been... They discovered us this summer, I think. And now they come to all the shows that we do in the Appleton area.
That's so sweet.
And I was like, you guys, we need a name for you. so I can like reference you when, because we were like, oh yeah, you know those people that come, and we just didn't have a name, and we're like, so you have to come up with a name for your little group, you know, and get other people to, so you can get people to the shows, and they were like, yeah, well, I mean, we already call ourselves kind of Ohana, like for, you know, from Lilo and Stitch, family, and I was like, that's great, that's perfect, then we know how to like talk to you and reference you, and yeah, so I just love that too.
So that, you don't have to, oh, you know, the people from...
Yeah, you know, the ones that bought merch last time, and the, you know, whatever.
That sounds like my mom when she's trying to talk about one of her obscure friends that I've never heard of before. Yes. Well, you met her when you were like 3, you know, when we were at her house. You remember? No, I was 3.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's more like we have little groups, but we'll see. We're starting to stream on TikTok now, too, and that's becoming their own little group as well, and... I am excited to see if they come up with a name for themselves as well, our little Swedish fans. So we'll see.
About TikTok, something that I had to find out was that you have experience as a voice actor.
Yeah.
And I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember last time we did this podcast, I got a like one last minute like request by a production company who we're working for. For a commercial for Max Hamburgers, which for the people who don't know, it's basically the Swedish equivalent to like McDonald's.
Yeah,
I would say. Yeah, and they needed a new. They needed some voice tests for a couple of commercials, and they heard my podcast, and I think they found out through like IMDb or something because my podcast is on IMDb.
Yeah.
So it has clips or something. I don't really know how it works. I don't know how
like
it works.
Like, they found me somehow. I don't know how.
No, but, like, they found me through IMDb, but I don't know, like, how that exactly works. If there's clips on there, I don't know. I don't know. But they contacted me, and I was like, okay, cool. Because I had to go from my community college, like, to the studio, and then there was, like, a whole mess, and my internet died, so I couldn't really send the files immediately, and it was just all a mess. Because... I hadn't done that before.
Yeah.
Or once when I was like 14, I did a little radio drama on the BBC. But it was just because I was taking a tour in London of BBC Broadcasting House with my mum because I'm very interested in journalism and stuff.
Yeah.
And the tour guide, being a nerd about journalism and stuff, I asked the tour guide like everything about the BBC. He must have thought that was super annoying. But he was a producer for a show called The Archers. And he was like, well, I like your voice. Can't you jump in as Chris Carter in this episode? And I was like,
that's so good.
I don't know. Well, here's the script.
Wow.
You know, and then I hadn't done any voice acting since then.
Well,
last year, like just a voiceover, just for commercial.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have experience in it, it's like a huge project for the Disney Channel and stuff like that. And I didn't know, like when we were talking about it, why didn't you tell me?
I don't think that was, there was a moment for it. And it's like, it's also, you don't know what people are interested in. And since we were there to talk about our music, I wasn't going to be like, by the way, I do voice acting. You know, like that would just feel really silly.
That would be a little silly. Yeah. How did you get your start in that?
Yeah. So I was 10. And my mom is a singer and a voice coach and stuff. And so she knows a lot of people in the musical theater business. And one of her friends was looking for new talent for a new show called Little Einsteins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's the one with the red rocket ship. And so he was looking for kids that could read well as sing well and like maybe act a little bit, and so he asked my mom, oh, don't you like, I know you have a kid, like would she be interested? And so I went to the studio, I did my voice test, really enjoyed it, and I got it. And then a week later I got to do another, because he was like, oh, she can do this. Let's do another voice test for Lucy in Narnia.
Wow, yeah.
And I loved the Narnia books when I was little. So I was like, this would be so cool. But I didn't really know what I was getting myself into at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got that too. And that just kind of started it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did voice acting my whole youth. And then I left for a year for the U.S., and so I had to give up a few roles. But then when I came back, I was able to get back into it, which was really cool. And that was when I got my big shows, Liv and Maddie, and where I played both twins, which was awesome because I got to work so much. And I've always loved voice acting. It's the thing where I was like, if I didn't do music, I would love to do voice acting. But now I can combine them, which is really great, at least a little bit. And so, and because of Liv and Maddie, I got to do a very famous few movies called the just Descendants, Descendants 1, 2, and 3. Playing the lead role there as well. And yeah, apparently kids really like those movies, and I didn't know that they were that into them still. But now that I've been posting on TikTok, people are like, oh my God, I love Descendants. And I'm like, you've watched it? Wow. Like, because that came out like 10 years ago, but people have, they must have like found it on Disney Plus now or something. And or people grew up with it. And so then I'm really nostalgic to them. And so, yeah, it's just, I adore it. I love it. And I will do anything. I just, any type of role, I'm just happy to be in the studio. And so, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, and now you're a Disney princess as
I am a Disney princess. Yeah.
Friends with a Disney princess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. It's been definitely like a whirlwind these last few months. I went in for the Snow White audition in December. And then I didn't hear anything for 3 weeks. And it was just, like, grueling. Yeah. But then I got in. I was on clouds. And I was just loving the recording process. And I was just couldn't believe it. Ever since I started doing voiceovers and, like, knowing that that was a thing with voice acting, I was like, I want to be a Disney princess someday, you know? And so it was really a dream come true for me. But as you might have seen, like, there's been a lot of controversy around the movie, too. And which led to them not releasing the soundtrack in Swedish, and they didn't want me to do any like PR really, and so that's been a little, it's been a downer for sure. But at the same time, I'm extremely proud of what we've done, and I finally saw the movie, and I really enjoy it, and
so did I.
Yay! That's so good. No, so I'm just, you know, really happy I got to do it, and.
Yeah.
I got to sing a Disney princess.
Yes,
you did.
I need to ask, is there anything that went wrong in the making of this album that you feel like, how are we going to put this together? And like, how did you solve it? And all of that jazz.
I mean, just last night. So we have a song called Currency on this album. And it's kind of like a little sassy song, you know? Like, but so it starts with a little, you know?
Yeah.
And John accidentally deleted the ha. So we were like, and he just completely lost it. And so we had to go on a little hunt into the like the backlog of like previous versions and figure out where is it and where was it placed. And that was just like, it was such a tiny, tiny little thing. I don't know if we had anything go.
I mean, I don't know if anything's gone like super horribly wrong, but I would just say the whole process has been like big trial and error, you know, like
learning it's experience.
It's the first time that we've fully produced an album. Mm-hmm. So the last album, I did around 80% of the production for the second half of the album. So we had it in two parts, right? So the first half was maybe like 50% me and then 50% the other producer. Second half was like 80% me and Amelie and then 20% the producer. This is like 100% both Amelie and I, except for Sol and Soma.
Yes, it's only exception.
But I think there's been so many things of just like, I mean, I can show you some of the versions of the songs, but like there's literally like, I think I've exported this each song maybe 20 times, you know, like completely different versions basically where it's like, you know, okay, this doesn't sound good. Let me try doing these other 10 things. And then like, okay, that doesn't sound good. Let me try these things. And like, that's been the whole process for like 7 months, basically. So like, it's been so much learning and like stuff, you know, sometimes sounds horrible and sometimes it sounds good. And just learning what, like how to get it to sound good, more good than bad. so I don't know if there's particularly anything that's gone horribly, horribly, horribly. There's a really fuzzy bass. And there's a song called Cope. And there's also, with that song, it has a commercial. We took a sample mm-hmm. from a 1960s commercial, which we really hope we don't get sued for.
Yeah. Because we tried to replace it with, like, John talking instead, yeah. and it's just, like, not the same thing.
But we can't...
Yeah, we can't find the copyright for it, so we hope that it's fine, but we're also, like... Yeah. I don't want any, like, whatever. It's fine. We'll play it for you later if you want. Yeah, it's so fun.
But it has the super, super fuzzy bass. And, yeah. like, sometimes the bass was a little bit too fuzzy. Like, it just was, like, over-the-top fuzz. Like, yeah. So, I mean, that song has been, like, the most, like, this song is not going to make the album, you know, at all. This was, like, it was, like, an experiment where it was, like, let's try to make something as, like, rock as we can to see what happens. And yeah, but it ended up turning out cool.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of like not cool like sounds that went into that song to begin with.
Was that the vision, the rock vibe to it, or did it just happen?
I think it was just like this concept of like you know, Imagine Dragons, like Amelie loves Evanescence, and then, like,
Paramore.
Amelie loves Paramore.
Oh, yes.
And I grew up in the rock world, too, and so, like, we've been, like, putting off being rock because we're, like, rock isn't that cool anymore, you know? Like, we need to try to keep things clean and be pop-oriented and stuff. But then we're like, you know what? Like, let's actually put in some of our influences that we actually have.
Yeah.
And so we did. And this song is kind of what happened from it, and there's a few more like it too, but that one's the most like
that one hits just, the hardest.
It's just straight up, it's straight up rock. There's like
no getting around it. It's you know, we also want to release songs that are gonna be great live, and as much as like I love Son Soma. She's she's gorgeous. She's pretty. Is she gonna work in a rowdy bar full of like drunk people? Not really.
No.
But some of the rock songs will definitely like get the attention.
Definitely.
And so it's for us, it's important to have a little bit of both the pretty, but also the hi, we are here.
Super fuzzy bass.
Yeah. And we are loud.
Yes.
And we're going to have fun.
Where can they find you if they want to check you on social media and stuff like that and streaming services?
So I would say we're most active on like Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok right now. And you can find us by just typing in 7000, no space, APART. So 7,000 apart. Mm-hmm. You'll find us everywhere. We're also obviously on all the streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, and all those good places.
And our website is just 7000apart.com. So you can find where
we're
tour
pretty,
and all that.
Yeah, we're pretty easy to find. Just type in 7000A, and then usually we pop up.
On Google.
Yeah.
And I'm Zeventine on all platforms, Zeventine. Whoa!
Woo!
On Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Spotify, because sometimes my guests make playlists and stuff. You already have one on there. I am usually very quick at responding and stuff, so just say hi. I also give podcasting advice and wish people happy birthday on Cameo. So I'm on Cameo, Zeventine Official, if you want a personalized video message and stuff. I can afford a cup of coffee a month for that, so that's cool. And Artist Live is available everywhere you find podcasts, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods. And if you're on one of those platforms, it would mean a lot to me if you could maybe rate and review and maybe follow the show. Then you'll never miss a new episode. And also, if you want to hear exclusive bonus content and also new episodes 7 hours before they get available everywhere. Artist Live Plus, and it's available on my website, 7000.com. Just click listen and you'll be able to find my free streaming service with all the best episodes and a little more than that as well. So thank you so much for taking your time.
Thank you so much for having us. This was lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was a good time hanging out.
Super fun.
Thank you so much for listening and take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.